In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I have with me Eleanor McCullen, and she's going to talk about what the Supreme Court did last week. Welcome.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Father, it's a great day. And first of all, I'm thanking all the people that are listening that have prayed for this decision, all the prayer warriors across the United States. And our prayers are powerful. Our prayers were heard. And what exactly did happen? We went to the Supreme Court because of the 35-foot buffer zone in Massachusetts in front of Planned Parenthood. And what actually happened is that the Supreme Court judges, there are nine judges, they took the case. That was the first answer to all of your prayers. They listened to the case. And then on Thursday, they voted 9-0, unanimous. This is huge. This has never happened. This is amazingly good. What does that say? 9-0, nine judges, even the liberal judges, they said the 35-foot buffer zone is unconstitutional. So this is an amazing win. And why is it a win? Well, several reasons. First of all, Planned Parenthood said they're disappointed because the justices are not concerned about women. To the contrary, Father, I think the judges, including all of the liberal judges, are concerned about women because they have given us, the gentle counselors, a chance to speak to a woman and a man who are about to go into a Planned Parenthood facility or something like that, and destroy their child. And they do care about women and that decision. It's a life-changing decision. So they care because they say, yes, let the counselors be there. Let them be gentle and loving. Let them offer hope and help and love as their last little voice before they go in. So I think they're extremely concerned about women. I might add, Father, just while I'm speaking of this, Planned Parenthood said, we are concerned about women. How about this, Father? If they're sincerely concerned, why do they charge exorbitant amounts of money for an abortion? Are they concerned about profits? And also, when you look at it from this angle, Father, when a fetus is removed from the womb, a small little human being is removed from the womb, 50% are female. So the question is, how concerned are they about women? So now, this is important because the justices recognized the First Amendment. Along the line in the last few years, Father, the First Amendment has become undervalued. It's been taken away left and right, left and right. And like anything, Father, that's taken away from us that's good, it comes in small doses. It's subtle. You think, well, okay, I guess that's all right. And, oh, okay, I guess that's all right. And meanwhile, you wake up and there's an elephant in the living room. And the people say, when were our First Amendment rights taken away? How did that happen? So this is, to me, it's a hope for the country. It restores my faith in America that the justices have us back on track with the Constitution, with First Amendment right. So that's a beautiful part of this decision. I have faith again in America. The second part is people say, well, why do you care about the 35 feet? Father, just like I'm speaking to you right now, when a woman and man are coming in about to take the life of the child in the womb, I can speak to them. Our colleagues, our gentle counselors can speak to them one-on-one. They don't have to raise their voices. They can say, good morning. Please, can you talk for 5 minutes? I think I can help you. There are options. We can surround you with love. Could you talk a couple minutes? Here is my brochure. That's it. And then, by grace of God, the people say, well, we could use help. We need help, actually. What can you do for us? And so this gives me a chance to be one-on-one. I'm kind of like a friend, almost an instant friend, because I care. Our counselors that work across the country are loving, and they care. And the Lord gives us a care for these people. How do we care? Why do we care? We don't know these people, but our God gives us a care for these people. They're His people too, and He knows that they need help. And so we're there as the witnesses of the for the truth. So this just gives me a chance to become a friend, to build up trust, to let them know I care. I really care. Because, you know, Father, the couples that come, they've left a culture of kill the child in the womb for convenience sake. Most of the children that are taken from the womb, it's not poverty. It's I want the child next year. I want to finish the job. I got the job. I want to go to the prom. It's all convenience. When I get the house and the two televisions and the white picket fence, then I'll have the child. So we're all playing God. So when I'm there, I care because society tells them, what? You're in school. You can't have that child. And the father says, don't come home here if you don't have that abortion. And the same with the boyfriend. So they're there and nobody cares. And this is legal. They can go in. What kind of a country do we have, Father? We call ourselves civilized. We are a generous, loving people. There's no doubt. If there's a hurricane tomorrow, we'll go and help build the houses up again. We are a generous country. But Father, we call ourselves civilized and we're taking our young from the womb. So this is, I don't think it's a civilized society. So these people come and nobody cares. Here they are. They don't really want to be there. They don't know what else to do. They feel abandoned. They feel alone. They're scared. What shall I do? I can't do this alone. And I'm there to say, I care about what you're going through. Let's talk this through. Let's see what we can do together. And we have a group of people that will surround you with love. We won't let you go. We'll walk with you the 8 months, the 9 months, whatever it is. We'll keep walking with you. And so that taking away this buffer zone lets me say in different variations the same thing I'm saying now. One-on-one, the other way, I'm raising my voice. And I don't want to raise my voice. I want to come through as a caring, loving, gentle person that our counselors are across the country. We do care about women and men. And of course, Father, we cannot forget the child in the womb. That's extremely important too. But first of all, the woman is the most important. She's there. She's the one that has the baby in the womb. She's the one that's scared. She's the one that should be addressed and said, what can I do for you? How are you? What brought you here? I care about you. That is our foremost responsibility, is the woman. Then as we build up trust and we go over to pregnancy help, we get all kinds of help with housing, financial, medical, and then we see the ultrasound, the 5D ultrasound. I'll tell you a story in a couple minutes, Father, little story later. We see the ultrasound. And then they decide to keep the baby. We do not charge anything at pregnancy help. Everything is free. And so that's what we do. If they say, yes, we need help, then that's how we proceed with that help. But we thank God right now, Father. Our hearts are overjoyed with gratitude. We know Jesus has led us. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has led us through this 7 years. We know He brought the justices to even hear the case, which was a miracle in itself. And then the 9-0, it's telling us something. God is alive. He's working. He wants His babies to be born. And I've worked with so many mothers. And once that baby's born, the Lord honors birth. He opens windows. He opens doors. Fathers get jobs. Families come back together. I had a family, they weren't talking because she was going to keep the baby, but I had them over to the house and they melted when they saw the baby. The families are actually coming together. It appears that perhaps they're not. But the Lord, see what the Lord does. You walk in faith. He said, you have honored me by accepting my beautiful miracle in the womb. And now I will honor you. Your families will talk again. Everything will be fine. But it always takes that step in faith to see how the Lord's going to work. And he honors birth. I've seen it time and time again.
Tell us what the First Amendment says, Eleanor.
Yes, the First Amendment is freedom of speech and freedom to join an assembly. And now, as I have said before, Father, I can't just say anything. I can't go into a theater and scream fire. I mean, you cannot abuse freedom of speech, but you have a right in America to speak gently and calmly, whatever you want, wherever you want. And that's exactly what the justices said. I can walk. I don't have to be stopped by a big yellow line. When you're stopped by the big yellow line, the couple is walking past you over in, and I've had to stop. And they say, why are you stopping? I say, well, I can't go over the yellow line. And so I've lost my momentum. And one couple lost not being able to hear that there's so much help. People don't know we have help. People don't know what we do. We do baby showers. We help with if your insurance like leaves in 3 months, there's like a gap. We have filled in the gap and paid 2 and 3 months insurance. We help with housing. We help getting you out of a shelter into low income housing. I mean, people are always amazed, like, can you do that? Well, guess what? We have resources, and we work under the Archdiocese of Boston, and we have resources, we have networking, we work with St. Vincent de Paul. It's just kind of amazing. You might see me and one other person or two people, and you think, well, what could they possibly do? But that's what I'm saying. I say, we can help you. So the First Amendment is freedom of speech, to be able to speak wherever I would like. Speaking about that, Father, I want to say, in case anybody's thinking, A buffer zone was struck down in Massachusetts. So people in Maine and New Hampshire and across the country, they're probably thinking, well, we're going to keep our buffer zones. Well, guess what? They can fight it from now to doomsday. But the precedent has been set. And the Supreme Court said that buffer zones are unconstitutional. So they can fight it all they want. And if anyone's listening across the country, and like a mayor or a governor, and they see the buffer zone still going on, like, shall we say, in New Hampshire, they can actually go to the people and say, this is unconstitutional. It will be interesting to see how many step forward, because it is unconstitutional. So we need strong men and women to speak the truth and go to Texas or, I don't know, New Hampshire and Maine and say, guess what? You're going to have to get rid of this buffer zone because it's unconstitutional. We'll take strong women and men to do that. I wonder where they are. But say they want to fight it, let them fight it. They can go to the Supreme Court. It's fine. They'll just lose every time. They'll lose money and time because the law has been settled. It's been settled. And thanks be to God. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ.
Tell me about the man that interviewed you that thought you were wasting your time outside, that nothing really happens.
Yeah, that's true, Father. A gentleman called. I did many interviews, but he said, you know, you're doing all this and you went to the Supreme Court and what are you actually doing there? I can't imagine that anything's happening. And I said, oh my gosh. I said, of course, a lot is happening. Hundreds of children over the years, hundreds. Have been saved, not just by me, but by other loving, gentle counselors that care. And he was shocked. He said, really? I said, yes. And I told him one of my stories, which I'll tell you, this happened last week. And I told him another story and another story. He said, really? He said, I thought nobody ever changed their mind in a short period of time. And I said, it is a miracle. I said, it is a miracle that in 3 or 4 minutes, I can build up their trust. They're listening to me and I can get them in the car quickly and go over to Pregnancy Help. But the Lord is good. I said, this is all grace. The Lord convicts these people. He converts them on the spot. The Lord can do anything. He can do anything. So you have to trust him that he's going to intervene. And so I told him some stories. I told him what we do. I told him just like I said to you right now, that we help with all these things. And by the time at the end of the conversation, he said, Because when he first came on, he was a little like, oh, you know, you're wasting your time, you know. But by the time I finished with him, he was converted. He said, "He said you're really doing good work out there." I said, "I am, and we are. It's not just me. I represent the hundreds of kind, gentle, pleasant, loving people that work across the country because they care about the woman first. And of course, they're the voice of the unborn child. Pope Francis said, we have to help the poor. The poorest of the poor is the child in the womb. The child in the womb is the most marginalized, the most fragile. And the voice, and I always hear like the little child in the womb saying, to when I'm speaking, they say, please listen to Eleanor. Please listen to Mary. I would like to be born. And you don't have to have a filet mignon on the table every night. I just want love. And just give me love and I want to be born. So we're there for the mother. We're there for the father. And then needless to say, the unborn child, every child father wants to have a birthday.
It's amazing because the Supreme Court decision was 9-0 that gives us the right to speak out and to counsel. You know, the other lawyer wanted to make it as an abortion thing issue, but the lawyer said this is not an abortion issue. This is an issue of free speech. That's what we're talking about, not abortion issue, but an issue of free speech.
That's true, Father. But you know, when you actually analyze it, it is one of the, like since 1997, we have not had any discussion at all, any kind of an abortion discussion or law or change. So many are regarding this as a victory for against abortion, as an abortion topic, and more abortions will be canceled because the Supreme Court said we can speak softly to somebody one-on-one. So in many ways, it is an abortion victory, which it seems like a small one. But you know what? Stepping stones are important, and the Lord uses small steps. I don't know exactly how he does it all, but he does it. And we trust him, and we know he's leading us, and we must be led, and we must listen. And he is our shepherd, and he will lead us. And we are not afraid. We are not stressed out by anything that's going to come down the line, because our Lord is our shepherd and he will lead us and we will follow whatever he has in mind with this. So in many ways, it's an abortion victory in a small way. And then, of course, the First Amendment right. There's no doubt. Now, having said all that, I'm not, what shall we say, naive. There's going to be propaganda put out. And so we're expecting that, actually. But we speak the truth. We speak the truth. The truth will prevail. The truth will stand. You can shake up something upside down and inside out. But if it's the truth, it will stand alone. It will stand on its own two feet. Other things, propaganda, lies, whatever, always falls apart. It seems like it's sustaining itself for a little while, but it falls apart. The truth will prevail, and we will follow the Lord and listen to what he wants us to do for the next step.
Tell us about that ultrasound. You said it has five degrees or five...
5D.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, the Knights of Columbus actually donated that to St. Elizabeth's Hospital. That's where our center is. It's connected right next door to St. Elizabeth's, and it's called Pregnancy Help. And they donated this beautiful 5D ultrasound. And we had, well, we had two cases last week. And when you see that 5D, Father, it's like the hand is coming out of the ultrasound screen. It's like everybody cries. Everybody cries. It's so amazing, touching your heart. It's just amazing. And so this particular, do you want me to tell you what happened when I?
I do.
Yeah, okay. So I guess about a week ago, a young couple, about 25 or 26, they came in a car and they had the father of the young mother-to-be. And I went over to them and they were very friendly, very nice. And they said, well, we're going into Planned Parenthood. We're not sure what we're doing, but we're going in for the ultrasound. So, but we're confused. So I, first of all, didn't think quick enough. And I said, well, all right, you get the ultrasound and make sure you see the pictures and then tell me what it's all about and I will help you. But in a split second after that, I said, why am I sending them in there? I said, well, guess what? We don't have to go into Planned Parenthood. You can come with me just about a half a mile away and we will do the ultrasound there and take it from there. And they said, okay, but can you do the ultrasound right now? Because it was 8:30, Father. And can we do the ultrasound right now? So I said, well, I think we can. But now, Father, I am walking in faith. No idea what I'm doing. So I go to the car. I call Mary, the nurse at Pregnancy Help. Of course, she's not there. They don't come in until 9. So I go back and I said, well, guess what? Now I'm still going out on a leap of faith. I said, no, well, we can't do it at 8:30. But now I went out and I said, we could do the ultrasound at 9:30. So they talked among themselves and they said, well, we could wait. And I said, well, I bet you're hungry, too. They said, we're starved. We didn't have anything to eat because we're not sure what we're doing. And if it is an abortion, you have to fast for 6 hours. So I said, oh, my heavens, you must be starved. We'll go have breakfast. Then we'll go for the ultrasound. But I still don't have the appointment. I still don't. So we went out and we had breakfast and they had a big breakfast and home fried potatoes and pancakes that came with everything, the works. So anyway, that part was good. But I'm still, my heart is pounding because I have no idea what the next step is. So I called Mary. She did answer. I said, Mary, she said, I'm in traffic. It was 5 and 9. I said, Mary, I would like to have an ultrasound by 9:30. She said, you've got to be kidding me. I'm not there yet. I haven't talked to the technician. I said, Mary. She said, can they come back tomorrow? I said, Mary, they cannot come back tomorrow. And I said, Mary, please, I'll pray, you pray. So she said, all right. So now we're having the breakfast. You know, I look relaxed. You know, I look like everything's set for 9:30, but I'm not relaxed. So we get out into the car. And it's like 10 after 9. We're supposed to be heading over. And Mary calls. I said, Mary? She said, you won't believe it. You bring them right now. We have the appointment at 9:30. I said, oh, thank you, Mary. And so we went and they talked to her first. And when they go into like a little counseling, like, how are you and what is your name and what's happening? They wanted me there because I tend to stand back like, it's private, but she said, oh, no, we want Eleanor there. We want Eleanor there. So they did the first part of finding out what this couple needs. The man had just lost his job. Why are they frantic? Why are they confused? They don't know what to do. But now I built up trust with them. Mary's telling them what we can do. Mary gave them a lot of help that day, help with housing. I forget exactly what she did, but 3 or 4 things were excellent. And then we went over for the ultrasound, Father. Come to find out, the baby in the womb was almost 4 months. Huge. And that would be, what, 16 weeks? Yeah, 16 weeks. And then with the 5D, and the mother and father are crying, everybody's crying, and they said, oh, my gosh, thank you. My gosh, I don't know what we would have done if we didn't meet you. And we're afraid of, it makes us sick to think what we could have done. And they said, well, can you tell us if it's a boy or girl? So the technician's always very nice. And she said, well, I can't be sure. I don't really want to get into that too much. But do you like the name Joseph? So meaning it's a boy. So and so, of course, they were thrilled. They say, oh, my gosh, I'm going to have a son. And I said, you know what? The Lord is going to open doors. And you know what? Back to where we went for breakfast, while we were having breakfast, the owner came in. And the owner knows the father. And I said, well, ask him for a job. So he did ask him for a job. He said, I'll do anything. But the owner of the restaurant said, I don't need anybody now, but I think I know somebody that does. So I believe the networking will start there. And it's a beautiful story, walking in faith, the Lord leads. And they were thrilled, and they still call me. They say, they still think of the opposite. of what could have happened. And they say, thank you for being there. And that's what, that's why we're there. That's why our counselors, our loving counselors across the country are there, just to be there, because they, a lot of people don't really know what they're going to do. Their minds aren't made up. And then they meet somebody that says, hello, good morning. And then the other week, there was a woman said, all the way over here, we prayed that there would be a sign. And she said, you and Mary are the sign that we needed, and we couldn't do it, and we're not going to do it, and we will have that baby. So the Lord honors, and whatever you're involved in, whoever's listening, it doesn't have to be in this type of work we're talking about, but anything that you're doing, trust Jesus is leading you and speaking to you. Take the step in faith. Do it. Step out. And whatever it is, I don't care what it is, you trust, and he will walk with you. He will run with you. He will lead you, and you'll see the doors that will open. But we don't have that faith, and the Lord says, please trust me. Walk with me. Speak the truth. Reach out to people, and don't say, I don't think I can. Maybe they don't want to talk to me. They do. Whatever vocation you're in, step out in faith, and the Lord will honor that.
I would like to invite you to the School of the Holy Spirit at the Holy Rosary Church, July 20th to 26th, creating an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to move in power. If you are interested, you can come for a day or two, the whole week. Dial 617-846-1210. 617-846-1210. One more time, 617-846-1210. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.